science, by definition, allows for more than one opinion. Otherwise, you merely have the will of one man, which is the basis of cult.
If it's not in the frame, it doesn't exist.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I illusion.
Where you been?
Drunk. Wendy? Billy! Darling? Light of my life.
What is your one purpose in life?
To explode, of course.
I like death with sex. How about you, Casey? You like sex with death?
Yeah, so fuck up and die.
I am looking at a list of kung fu comedies, and Kung Fu Hustle is like the newest one of them all.
Really?
Like, I really like, there really just aren't any new kung fu comedies.
I kind of would think that, like,
who's the director again? Stephen Chow?
Yeah, sounds right.
Or Stephen Chow?
Kung Fu comedy. You think, because like Kung Fu Hustle was pretty popular, you would think that if anything, that would like,
dude.
I mean, there's Shaolin Soccer, which came afterwards.
Do you understand?
And that's the
that
same.
Was no, Shaolin was first.
Yeah. It was
Really?
That was like early 2000s.
I guess it was because Kung Fu Hustle was popular. I watched that, and then I watched Shaolin Soccer.
I did the exact same. Yeah. That was my exact same trajectory. I watched Kung Fu Hustle because of Chet. Chet, this like that
me too.
Kung Fu Hustle.
Me too.
Got Chet into buying a hatchet. Like, the whole reason he bought a hatchet is because of this fucking movie. But
that's on brand.
That's on brand. I know, the whole time I was watching it, I'm like, fuck, it's so like, I was just feeling that like nostalgia. But it is crazy how well this movie holds up. But then Shaolin Soccer is really dope too, and I highly recommend it. But I had something going here. Oh yeah, why won't they make any movies like this anymore? What's going on?
I think we've fallen out of love with
martial arts.
Yeah.
Martial arts. I mean, we were talking about that. This is the Cult of Cinema Knowledge podcast. First of all, we're already just
doing. Oh, we're doing it. Okay.
I mean, Jordan started off the fucking audio recording with talking about Kung Fu Hustle. At least we have a minute of preamble. I just got to fucking, he just, not even the tip. It just goes straight in.
No, I'm raw dogging it, dude. I don't have time. This isn't a podcast for her, baby. This is a podcast for me today.
Yeah. You would think, but we were talking about it a little bit during Enter the Dragon, where it's like, that was the peak, but then it's just like, we saw a lot of movies like that for a while, but then it really did drop off. And now in like modern cinema, I guess like since The Matrix, which Matrix came out 5 years before Kung Fu Hustle, that it's like that was the end of an era in a way, even though it was like more of a comedic route. It's like you don't ever see those kind of movies because you saw a lot in the 80s and 90s. There's quite a few to pick from.
Maybe
not comedies as much because that is kind of blend.
But Stephen Chow, the director of this of Kung Fu Hustle, that is kind of his wheelhouse. Like he got into like more satirical and comedic, but then he still is disciplined, and so it like is pretty cool to see that like he wears his influences on his sleeve for sure.
Oh yeah,
and like you know it's pretty cool.
Here's my theory. I think it's because the mystique of Eastern martial arts kind of disappeared and we moved on to more like realistic things, UFC, MMA, jiu-jitsu, or like these things need
the
to be
popularization of the internet. It's like now
needs to be real. Like, oh, this can't work in real life. It needs to be like, oh, that's not how you throw like a straight punch. If you throw it like that, then you're gonna get like hit or something like that.
It's a good point because it's like
if I watched
Enter the Dragon in 1974, I probably would have been a lot more impressed with like the moves, but nowadays I'm like tainted by how much information I have access to, you know what I mean?
There's a reason
that's a good point.
There's a reason why MMA, jiu-jitsu, and Muay Thai are like the dominant martial arts. You don't see karate guys as much anymore. Unless
unless it's like, you know, and that, I guess I'm
a yellow belt in Taekwondo, okay? So
I'm a green belt.
Okay, yeah, this is Pablo, like, our special guest today. Actually a fucking Shaolin monk. He fucking
trained in the mountains.
He's a green belt in Taekwondo. He was part of the Hatchet Gang, even, and so he has a real good insight into this story today. So tell
us, he's our Stephen Chow.
What is the deal with these literally superhumans?
Oh my god, this movie is a cartoon, and I love it.
It's such an anime. Like that's what it just made me think.
Even think anime. I just thought it's this cartoon. This is Looney Tunes.
Well, it was just like the shots where it's just like, you know what I mean. It definitely felt like. And like just the abrupt changes and like the reactions and stuff.
For me, it's 100% the character tropes. Like everybody is just one character. They're one dimensional. But like they play it so well and it's so sincere that like I'm having a good time, and I've never, it's so weird. I was like, as we're watching this movie, because I haven't seen this movie for a long time, but I, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like I like it. There's a charm to it, but like, it's not a very good movie.
Like, yeah, I actually didn't do my Letterboxd rating yet, because it's like, it's another one of those movies where it's like, it's not that good, but I enjoyed the hell out of it, because what makes it good is, yeah, it's charm and it's like goofiness and like kind of the, in the ways that it's quote unquote like not good as like a filmmaking, is kind of like what makes it good. So it's weird. It's like, how do you quantify that? And it's hard to do. And that's why you should go to Reddit, go to the survey that I have on the Reddit page, because it is broken down into sections. So maybe you can work that out yourself. It's just a 1 to 10 rating on each genre, on like the cinematography and the effects.
Yeah, do that work yourself. Don't just listen to us talk about it.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
So, go participate. Please be in the film club.
Do
we
something. Do something with your life.
Yeah, you piece of shit.
Yeah, do something. Whoa, God, Pablo, stop, dude. I understand. Like,
yeah, we
get
it. You're
don't
the fucking
threaten our audience,
master.
Man.
God damn.
Please, I am.
Yeah, quit lording it over us, fucking
no one's
karate
come,
guy.
I know when you're walking and it's late at night and someone passes you and they don't
we
properly
get it.
Greet you.
You wear tank tops.
I do wear tank tops.
So anyway, just for people who have not seen the movie or it's been a long time. Let's really quick, because speaking of story, let's just get the story out of the way. Let's just do like a quick synopsis, right? Because it's all over the place. So I'm not going to dwell. Did somebody else want to do it?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to fucking pop it off. But if you want to do it, I'm not going to remember any of the characters' names. So just do it.
I don't remember the character's name either.
That's fine.
There's a bad guy, Hatchet Gang, kills a guy at the beginning, right? They're like the most feared gang in all the area, but they don't fuck with the lower income areas because there's nothing to get there. So the slums are left surprisingly kind of untouched, right? So there's Pigsty Alley, which is like this kind of like, building complex slum area. People are like showering in the fucking gutters and stuff like that. But it's like a nice little community. They got their little shops. They got the Kungi guy. They got the fucking Taylor guy.
They got Donut Man. He's my favorite.
He's dope. Yeah, and so yeah, he's the Kungi guy, because the landlords, right? And so anyway, this town it's peaceful and it's away from the gang. But then this guy and his buddy show up, or a little trickster. I'd call him our protagonist, right? He shows up and he's like, "Hey, I'm part of the Hatchet Gang, so you better." He like tries to blackmail someone, and it turns out he's full of shit. He's not actually part of the Hatchet Gang. He's just like a low time crook that was trying to. Basically, he's frightened someone into getting him a nice haircut and buying his booze and stuff. But that brings the attention of the real Hatchet Gang, because they show up and he throws a firecracker on the dude's head. And but then the Hatchet Gang comes and is trying to intimidate the town. And then, surprise, Donut fucking Taylor guy and like buff worker guy, they're all superhumans that know ultra kung fu. And so is the landlady, even though she doesn't show it off as much. And she kicks this guy like 100 feet into a trash barrel and kills him.
is it supposed to be the landlady that did that?
She did that.
That broke his back?
She did that move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. I love when they're like, did anyone see what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. It's because it showed that it was the first time. It's jarring when you first see it because it's that super sped up like Roadrunner. Fucking, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, oh, this is crazy. We got to get back to the big boss. And so, you know, they bring the big boss around. The big boss is humiliated when all his hatchet men get their butt kicked by those three dudes. And they're like, oh, we're going to get back at you. And then the landlady and the landlord husband, they're like, hey, you can't be you. This brings unnecessary attention onto the village. We're going to flip a coin. And if it's heads or whatever, you're banished. And so they get banished. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. I wish we would have known. They're like all about to leave. And they're like, I wish we would have known that we were all kung fu masters. We could spar. And they have like a little fun fight.
Yeah, dude, that was cool.
And it's friendly. And you think that they're going to be like the main characters. And then the main bad guy, the Hatchet Gang, hired these assassins. Mm-hmm. They show up and there's like a huge battle and they all die. Everyone is killed. But then the landlord and the landlady, they come down. They kill the guys. They kind of save the day. And they intimidate the big boss guy again to be like, don't you fuck with us because we're going to wear your skin. They're just like teleport into the car with them. Yeah. And so what is the main boss guy? The sniveling boss guy with disgusting teeth, by the way, but everyone does his dirty work. He goes to get the even biggest assassin. They break him out of a mental institute with the help of our scrappy go lucky buddy, which I barely touched on him. He's got like a weird side quest of like a deaf girl he helped and his fat friend, but it's irrelevant sort of. But he breaks out this psycho supervillain out of this prison that's just like some old guy that apparently is like, I just need the ultimate challenge. Like, he is an anime character. Like, he's a character.
It's straight up right. Like, I don't need to be paid. I just want
a worthy adversary. Like, it's the one eye, like, in an anime where it's, like, looking up, like, you know?
Well, no, the funny part is that it's just, like, this gross guy with, like, barely any hair in his underwear. And I'm all like, this is the ultimate bad guy.
He's got, like, Crocs on. It's awesome. Dude, it's great. Yeah, like, foam flip-flops. But it's cool because the bad guy shows up and the landlord and landlady are, like, there to kill the hatchet gang. And so they're like, oh, okay, we're going to have a battle now. So they have this huge battle and our scrappy young protagonist kind of steps in at one point to try and help. So he flips sides and they save him and run off. And the super bad guy villain is like, oh, those are my only worthy foes. And then the other guy's like, you dumb piece of shit. And he kills the leader of the hatchet gang just out of nowhere.
Right.
Before the climax. And then he goes and tracks them down and they have a super ultimate fight. But they bring back our scrappy young hero from the bridge of death. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they're like, wow, his chakra, it was unlocked in him all along. He comes back and he's just like in a white shirt.
Yeah.
And he studied like, the Buddhist palm method or whatever.
He's a kid, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, like, that's such a funny bit.
Yeah, and so
that's such a good bit.
So good. We'll so there's the ultimate showdown at the end where he's got the super Buddhist palm and he gets fucking knocked up into the sun practically and he comes down and
you see Buddha. You see Buddha in the chat in the clouds. That's so good.
Yeah.
He whoops the other guy's ass by like using supernatural palm powers, and the other guy has for some reason frog powers. That's the frog method that he uses.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
okay. It's toad style.
Yeah, well, it's like a specific toad style.
Yeah,
but he whoops his ass, and then the like pigsty alley is practically destroyed. And instead of killing him, he's like, oh, you want to? I'll teach you. And he's like, master.
Because he's very enlightened. Yeah, now he's.
Because now he's finally, he's been humbled. He's transcended. So
that is my favorite trope. I love that trope.
He doesn't need to kill.
He's been humbled.
Dude, it's beautiful.
At the end, they have like a candy shop or whatever. And the deaf girl's there. And the fat friend's there. Everyone from the village is there.
Allie's living in the city now.
Happily ever after.
They have the cute scene. They have the cute scene where like they're both back as children. And I'm all like, yeah. That was a nice way to top it off.
And it's like this has like a very thin love like subplot, very very thin, but it's still cute.
It's got one of my favorite gags because I'm like when he first steals the ice cream from her, and she's all looking at him all longingly like I recognize you, and he's like, what, you never seen an ice cream thief before?
Yeah,
you like, he runs away.
So well, dude, I want to know
as she's running, is like talking look about at her run.
Which version did we watch?
Yes,
yeah. Okay. Dude.
What version did you watch,
Pablo? You watched the dub.
I watched it subbed on Tubi.
Yeah.
Okay. Me too.
Did you?
I watched it subbed because I tried watching it on Plex, and it didn't have subbed version. And I've seen this movie enough times that I know the voices and I know the jokes, and so I know what's gonna happen. And like listening, like I watched like maybe 10 minutes of the dubbed, and it is so atrocious. And just couldn't. I couldn't handle it.
All right, hold on. Let me tell you. So I had a little bit, and this is not a testament to the movie at all, because I was so frustrated because I had tried watching the movie and it was dubbed. And I'm like, I cannot watch dubbed movies. They drive me crazy.
Especially live action. Live action. Yeah, anime, is really, really,
animation.
Really
animation, it's usually like, who cares? Because it's already perfectly.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. But live action, I want to see the performances that are actually happening right in front of me. And so I finally got the. I was like looking up online. I was having a hard time getting, I guess I didn't get directed to Tubi, but having a hard time getting the Cantonese or Mandarin or whatever the fuck with subtitles, which I preferred. I finally did, and I was going to text you, Jordan, because I had both versions on the Plex, and you could switch them. But then the subtitles weren't working. And so I'm like, I can't watch it. I'm not going to pull a Jordan and watch the whole movie without subtitles.
Coda.
And so I'm like.
Learn sign language.
I know. Well, I'm going to learn Cantonese, apparently.
Just learn Cantonese. Yeah. What do you? And so I was like. Rusty on your Mandarin?
So I was looking it up, and everyone online was like, the dub version for what the movie is, we usually agree, is the definitive edition. They're like, that's the definitive version. That's the one that actually captures the spirit of the movie, has the best voiceover acting, and the best jokes. And so I was like, fuck it, I guess I'll just watch the dubbed version. So I watched the dubbed version instead of the other version, and I watched like 20 minutes of both versions. And I do think, like, the dubbed version is the way to go, honestly. Like, surprisingly. Oh, that's wild. Well, surprisingly.
I heard that the dub, Stephen Chow, like, worked on the dub and incorporated different jokes.
It's 100% different. Like, I tried to watch it with subtitles, but the subtitles are for like the actual spoken, and they do not match at all. But it's like,
no, they don't.
The jokes are better, and like the delivery is surprisingly better. Like the delivery of the dub is like the timing and like the comedic timing and like everything is way better than what I watched, at least like the first 20 minutes.
Because I was
of the actual actors, like nothing against them, they were fine, but the dub was surprising. Any other movie, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. But the fact that it's like such a goofy movie anyway, and it's sort of like, I don't want to go. Yeah. It's not full into parody territory, but it is where it's like so many movies of that era were dubbed that I could kind of, after a while, I got used to it. That's and I fair. Accepted it. Normally, I'm way against it, but surprisingly,
I thought the comedic timing of the subs was still like hilarious. Still I'm like, okay, these jokes are still landing, and these are still really funny.
If you ever watch it again, you should just try and mix it up. Watch it with the dub.
I might try that because I heard that it is supposed to be supposed to be accessible. So they like actually did try.
It's probably more has way more homophobic jokes, and so that's why it's harder to find because there's a lot of that.
Really,
I heard on I was on a Reddit forum about it, and they were like, oh, because someone was like, I can't find the dubbed. And I'm like, I can't find the other version. What the fuck? And
because the sub, they call him a fairy. And that's like the closest thing that's like that. You're just like, well, it's kind of like it's just one of those things where it's like, well, that's soft. You know,
I mean, this whole movie, they always are like that one. The one gay barber guy's just always got his ass hanging out for some reason.
I know.
Because apparently that's
saucy butt. It's so funny. Like at the end when they're panning through, like everybody.
And he just has
his ass out. He's squatting with his ass.
What is he doing?
He's taking a shit.
I was like, what is he? Well, no, but there's nothing. He's just in the middle of the room.
No, there's like a paper with like shit on it.
Oh,
I literally was like, he's just shitting on like a piece of paper or something. At least I thought it was like a big gross wet spot. And I was like, nasty.
I don't know. But it was just funny. I'm like, what are these? Like this movie is like the definition of unhinged. Like I just, the entire time they would do
unhinged and stereotypes.
What are you? Well, right. And like, but like done well.
Oh, no,
that's what I like about it is like, it's not offensive because it's. You know, somebody,
like the Asian mom with their hair curlers, like throwing the sandal. I'm all like, oh,
and like just a cigarette hanging around.
Dude, her cigarette. Oh my God. When she's got the cigarette and she's like kissing her husband and she's moving it.
She's my favorite character. She's so fucking cool.
No, she is by far, dude. I loved her like character in the first time I ever saw it. It was just like when she like sucks in, like her chest gets huge and then she like blows out the drag of the cigarette. So yeah, dude. And like blowing out. And I'm like, that's such a sick, like this really is like a Tekken or an anime where I'm like, God, I love like seeing the moves. Like I'm like, it's so cool how they.
No,
like,
it's like a special move. It is. It's like you got your special meter up enough.
Yeah.
And you got it, and you use the bell to amplify. It's just like
fucking the bell amplifying. It's so cool.
Lions roar.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got the palm and everything.
Ah, the Buddhist.
See, this should be. They should have made like a fighting game. I think that actually would have been perfect as a fighting game. Dude,
totally.
Because like the two assassins with like that, I don't know what that stringed instrument is called, but like
like a steel guitar.
They're like,
poing. It looked like a koto, but I don't know. It could have been.
And then like towards the end of that fight, like they keep doing that, and then you just see like a massive undead Chinese army coming. I'm like, what is?
Why not?
This is so cool. Yeah, dude, what?
I know. I was like, when that everything that happened in this movie, every time it like escalated to something crazy. It did such a good job, like, getting me to a place to suspend my disbelief with its, like, cartoony nature. Like, the first time they get too wacky with, like, the speed and, like, all that, like, it does kind of throw me off. But they do such a good job that when something like that happens and there's a giant undead army, you're like, yeah, of course, why not?
Undead,
like, of
Chinese
course,
ghost
like,
army. Yeah, and then the assassins again, also being serious, like. You've seen like that character in other medias before, like with the round sunglasses, 100%. This like the super sharp nails, yeah. And I'm just like, okay, I've seen these characters before. I've seen the Asian landlady before. I've seen the Kung Fu Master before.
That's what that's like what Jordan's saying. It's like they're cartoonish and like anime in the way that it's just like every character is their one thing, but that's like surprisingly fine in the context, you know. Which is like why we say it's unfortunate. It's just like. The gay guy's character, his character trait is that he's gay. You know what I mean?
That he's gay, right?
And it's
I think they like they play it well. Where like everybody has kind of like the soap opera version. Like the woman, the like I don't even know the like the they call her like a buck tooth and that, and like she's the one that kind of I don't even know. She just kind of is kind of somewhat wealthy, but like very flirtatious and very like sexualized and stuff. But her, like when she was sauntering away, and like I just was cracking up.
Yeah,
and
I did.
Or when the other guy, the guy that gets called the fairy, like has like the see through, like the red is like, what's wrong with red underwear? And then she comes down.
Comes to defend him.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right, let's.
But anyway,
all the bits are absurd. Amazing.
Let's back it up a little bit. Let's just back it up. So this was none of our first viewing. I want to know what your guys' like expectations were like seeing it now. Like, how has it like your feeling changed much since the first time you saw it? Or like, has any like this is a movie that I kind of never thought I'd watch twice, but I'm glad I did.
For me personally, this was a movie I really enjoyed, and
I really enjoyed it, but I kind of forgot about it, right?
But that's kind of the thing. It's like this movie kind of unlocked the part of my brain where I was like. Oh, I watched like Kill Bill and this movie. They kind of live together in my head for what they are. And I always – so the thing is I haven't seen this movie in years, like decade plus for sure. Yeah. And I mean, you're even – God, probably, yeah, 15 years.
Almost, yeah, 15,
like,
20 years almost for me.
You know, right. And so it's like I remembered it better. And then this was a testament the entire time we were watching it. I was like, oh, this is a testament to where like – it was good CG then because I forgot half of it was CG. Like, you know, I mean, there's a large majority of this movie that has CG and has like so much ridiculous CG that it's almost like it almost distracts, but like works so well in this movie.
It fits the look and the tone, of the movie so well. You don't really notice.
It didn't bother me at all, but I really forgot. So it's a testament to see like, oh, it was good CG then, but this is totally what it's like in like 20 years. I'm going to look at movies from now and be like, oh, wow, that's got a lot of CG in it. Like, it's like weird how that happens. But I didn't remember that much. But I remember this fondly, and I had a great time watching it again.
What about you?
So I first watched this movie, like, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago. And watching it again, I was like, okay, this is going to be ridiculous, but it's going to be fun. And I wasn't expecting a whole lot of martial arts, really. But all the choreography and all like the actual scenes of them doing that stuff were all beautifully done. And I'm all like, okay, I missed this. I miss seeing this choreography, the wireworks.
Yeah.
For some of the CG, I will say it was a bit distracting. There were some times where I'm all like, did you really need to make that CG gun? You couldn't have made have a practical gun.
The fight, the choreography, but that's the thing. It's like the choreography was super dope, but it was smart because it transitioned into the CG so well, like, which is another level of like choreography, like doing a fight with something that's not there, which it's ridiculous because it's just like so many times it's like the bodies would turn CG because they're just ragdoll like 50 feet. And instead of doing wires, they'd just be like, that guy's flying through a wall. And he's just like a weird early 2000 CG guy.
For me, it was hit and miss with some of the CG. There was something like with the gun. It's like, it's very clear that guy's not holding a gun. It's just like clipping through his hand because they can't really because they have to hand composite it because there's nothing there.
Yeah. Well, it's like Jordan said, it's like back in the day, because I watched it like shortly after release. And I thought it was a lot of fun, but I didn't really, I recognized like obviously like the crazy Roadrunner scene where they're like chasing each other. And like, I know a lot of it's CG, but it's like this time, like the first time you see him when the protagonist shows up and he's like got the soccer ball and he's like kicking the soccer ball and then he like squishes it. And it's just like a weird CG ball.
Right,
it was distracting at first because
it's not even
like the
him.
Start of.
He could have gotten.
Oh yeah, that could have been anyone
to do it. You know what I mean? It could have been like a
wait
professional.
Is that a reference to Shaolin Soccer?
To Shaolin Soccer,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, because then he's like, "No, this is the main guy. It's got to be the main guy, right?"
Yeah, Right. When I say that this movie wears its homages on its sleeves, it, like, literally doesn't care. Like, I mean, it had, like, the Shining elevator.
Oh, yeah.
And the Looney Tune. It, like, they're, like, the sound effects and the tropes and everything it's doing in this. It's, like, it's doing it. And it, that's how come I compare it to, like, a Kill Bill or, like, a Quentin Tarantino, where, like, he knows what he's homaging and doing, and he, like, does it blatantly, but he does it well. And so you're not really that offended, or you're not, like, you know, you're kind of, like, it's an homage. I guess that's where homage falls in place instead of, like,
it's interesting because it's like this does really parody. Walk the fine line because this is not quite like it's not a spoof and it's not quite a parody full on of like the genre, because that's the really fine sweet point of like it exists in the genre while also like kind of making fun of its tropes, which is like a hard thing to kind of accomplish, to like do both. Like, it is an awesome cool like kung fu movie, but it's also kind of goofy and making fun of awesome cool kung fu movies of the past, which is like a hard balance to maintain.
And it constantly does that throughout the movie of just like when you first see the slum, and it's like, okay, they're gonna have to ask for outside help. Oh no, they have three badass kung fu guys. Oh, they just all got killed. Yeah, no, they just all got killed. Okay, now they gotta fight the big boss. Oh, the big boss just got killed by the bigger boss.
That was one of my, oh my goodness, like that made the story super disjointed. But it was also like one of my favorite things because it was sort of like all over the place, but it was like subverting like your expectations. It
keeps messing with your expectations all the time.
Yeah. At the beginning, you definitely are like, oh, this is going to be like a Seven Samurai. And then you're like, nope. And then like the one that caught me off guard the most is like the main three guys. I'm like, oh, it's going to be about them now. They have their fun little, they have their fun little fighting, sparring, and they're going to go. And then like they're all killed in the next scene. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, it's just kept kind of keeping you on your toes. Like, you kind of never knew where it was going to go. I was waiting for, like, the main hero to die. But then instead, he literally goes the exact opposite and becomes, like, a god.
Well, the guy who the guy who looks most like the hero character, like, the just, like, the regular Wing Chun dude, is just insta-killed. Like, the bow staff guy and, like, okay, so the style that I think is called Hungar with the rings. Yeah. It's very, like, flowy and a lot of, like, forearms.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, like, the Hungar guy and the bow staff guy both, like, get at least some hits in.
Yeah.
But the main hero-looking dude gets insta-killed, and it's crazy.
I will, I'm going to jump forward a little bit because that is my favorite scene of the movie.
Totally, dude. When they're playing and it's just, like, and you see, like, things, like...
Yeah, but you don't see it at first. You're just like, you're just seeing like the things for buff, and then the cat jumps off and you see its shadow get cut in half.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, shit's going down. Like, and then he just gets decapitated, and you're like, holy shit. Like, from behind, like, he's just
immediately
insta-killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. And it's like, those guys were so cool. Like, that whole scene. Yeah. That was great. Like, all the fights were.
And I love, like, and that's where I think, like, the scenes work really well, and it just feels like, you know, I'm going to keep going back, like, Tarantino, but it, like that, like the scene before the assassins, like when they get hired, that whole conversation is awesome. It's a great, like, this is a great film too. That's what's nice about this movie. There's like I think
dialogue.
I think that, like, the stylization of it almost kind of is a distraction, and it's a little, like, I think it's a hindrance. Like, it's, I don't know, I think for what he probably wanted to do is be like, wow, look how stylized this is. But, like, I was like, oh man, I wish it was toned down and a little bit more practical.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, that's just like, I mean, that obviously.
I think if it went farther one way or the other, it probably would have had more staying power culturally. Cause it's like, if it would have been a little bit more grounded and more VFX and it's like not super cartoony, it probably would have been like respected in a way. But then it's like too cartoony, but it's not like hyper stylized for a lot of the scenes. Like, the everything that's not crazy is shot very in like a normal way. But if it was like, you know, I don't know, like this, like the set design and the cinematography was like this hyper crazy weird stylized thing, but it's like only the fight sequences are mostly.
In the beginning it seemed like it was going to go that route, like in the very first sequence, if so, like this is a very stylized, like the sky is like almost like blood orange.
Right
and like the gang dancing, and it's kind of like you would think it would just the whole time is like, it's gonna be like this, where it's just kind of like unhinged and rigid. And like, I thought like the momentum would be there a little bit more through the whole thing. I don't feel like this movie really lags at all, but there are a few times where I'm like, he's trying to like kind of shoehorn like sympathy and a story into it. And I'm like, you don't really necessarily need this. Like,
yeah,
there's more. You don't need him like as a kid getting peed on twice. Like,
yeah, I definitely don't. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I 100% agree. That's like its biggest flaw, right? Is like there's. It's not that it lags. It's there's a lot of scenes. You're like, what's the point of this? Like this is not really. This is not doing anything for a character that is just about to die. So why is there all this character development for someone that we don't care about? Or, you know, yeah, like it's like so much of this stuff. It's like kind of amounts to nothing. It's like trying to add a heart. I get it. It's flawed, but I think it's a flawed gem. Obviously,
no, oh, absolutely. Totally, yeah, and I think that was also my because like all the wire stunts that didn't take me out of it, but when it got like a bit too much, and then they kind of went back and forth. That's when it kind of distracted me a bit. Like the landlord dude, when he kind of like seemed like he was like floating basically.
Yeah,
and
I'm all I
like,
know,
a
right.
lot of the moves that he did were like really cool, really interesting. Like when he like ducked down and both of them hit each other. I'm like, that was
his
cool.
moves like a rubber kind of guy, you know, like which is cool. Right.
And, which is, guess what? That's also like a real thing in some martial arts. So I'm like, okay, did you have to make him seem like an actual feather person, CG weird, like rubber dummy thing?
Yeah, that I think that's the first scene that kind of really threw me off. Like once it started picking up with the wackiness and the CG, like I said earlier, my suspension of disbelief was there, so I didn't mind it as much. But like, yeah, earlier on, you feel like it's a little bit more grounded, and then you see him like she like runs like a cartoon character, and then like knocks him out the balcony, and it's that terrible CG of him like falling down, which in the context of the rest of the movie fits the vibe. But at the time, it just looks like really weird CG that I'm just like, oh, why didn't they just like throw a dummy off at that point? You know what I mean? But then I was like, oh, okay. Then they kept doing it. And so after they kept doing it, I kind of got used to it a little bit more with like the weird ragdolling that all the people would be doing.
Because the choreography was beautiful. Like all of the choreography.
Well, you
was
even
like
got
to so
choreograph. You got to choreograph the CG too.
That's why.
And like with it, it's kind of hard to choreograph and have a fight scene against nothing if you're going to just add CG later.
Well, talking so about a different movie and the reason why I won Best VFX for the Oscars this year is because the main director, it was the lead VFX guy. So if the more conjoined they are like that, then the better product comes out.
Oh, Godzilla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What other movie could I be
It took me a minute to
remember.
No,
right. Sorry. Yeah, Godzilla won Best VFX, and the main director was also the lead VFX director.
Yeah, and that makes
sense. That's why it works.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's because totally it was helps, so integrated. Yeah. Well, that's like, forget the night, it's like Gareth Edwards or whatever, the guy that did like, he later did the shittier, Star Wars movies. But he started doing like Monster and things like that where he directed those. He did, he's the other guy that did The Creator. That was like the next runner-up where it's like
another VFX artist.
Yeah, he's the VFX artist and the director. So he shoots it with that intention of like doing the mix. He's like very much thinking about it and then does it himself, which is like, that's the way to do it. Instead of having like so many offshoots, it's like the VFX is such an afterthought. And so it's like this movie the VFX doesn't feel like an afterthought most of the time. The only thing I hated was the Roadrunner stuff. That kind of drove me nuts. That scene was definitely my least favorite scene where she's chasing him.
It's very clearly like composited and there's like, they're just putting a picture like in front of a screen.
Yeah.
Right, that aged probably like that was really poorly aged, and then his lips effect I don't know. I mean, I actually kind of liked it because the sound effects were hilarious and like it's a great bit. But I mean, I think one of the greatest gags is the knife gag
ding, ding,
in his shoulders and stuff. But it's like I don't know.
But that felt kind of grounded, right? Earlier on, like that felt like just being a comedy, like
very slapsticky. That was super like. Yeah. Old school slapstick, like
for sure. Definitely. That was like, one of my biggest laughs, honestly. I was like,
oh, dude, especially when he pulls it out and he's like, oh, don't pull it out. And he puts it back in.
The first time he accidentally knifes, he throws it in.
When he's trying to act tough, and it's like, all right, I'm gonna fight you, like you kid, let's like rumble. This is really so ripped. Get him on.
That scene. I was like, slayed me too.
The smaller guy, and then he stands up. He's like 7 foot tall. Yeah. I'm like, what did I say about cheating?
Stephen
Chow has a great like comedic timing. Yeah, he has a great voice for it. It's like him just like that scene is a testament to his like writing and his acting skills. It's like him just like railing it off and like going through and just being like, oh, you guys are lying. And like, get everyone together.
That's why
I wanted a bit more of that though. You know,
that's why like the comedy landed. And the choreography landed because you can tell he already knows both very, very well.
Yeah. Very, very well. Yeah. He loves, yeah, because he grew up on Bruce Lee and then he, like, you know, through his whole life, who? Through and the 80s and 90s, he worked in cinema.
Did you, shut up, Levi. Did you guys catch, like, when I was like, oh, if he studies real hard, he could be a doctor or a lawyer? It's like, more likely a stuntman. I'm like, the actor's it, doing all, like, yeah. He's a stuntman.
Yeah.
Guess what?
He's doing it all.
Guess how that all martial arts are supposed to work now? Get the stuntman to just do the stunts.
It's what I think another thing that it's like, it makes this movie, like, it's fine, but it makes it feel disjointed. It's just like the first half does have, like, the most, like, clever jokes in the visual that are, like, more subtle, like the buff kid coming out, like that scene.
Yeah,
and, like, just him being like, oh, let me see your hands. You're tough. Don't make me have to, you know, have to fight you when the big guy comes out. But it's like when they're relying on, like, the jokes and it feels more grounded and there's jokes and then it's, like, peppered in with, like, the crazy, like, fight scenes. But the second half was, like, the fight scenes were super dope and super goofy, but they definitely took over. You know what I mean? Where it's just, like, we got, like, 3 10-minute long epic fight scenes with, like, a ton of CG, which were really cool and funny in their own way. But it's just, like, I missed in the first half, like, the knife gag, right? There's things like the more, like, I don't know, it is like the certain grounded where it had to rely on, like, the performances and, like, kind of like the characters timing, like, having the written bits.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then it gets to a point where it's just, like, kind of so over the top, over stimulus. It's fun, but it's not as funny, you know, later in the back half.
No, I agree.
Still good, but it's like a different vibe. I wish there was, like, kind of a more of a balance of that. You know what I mean? No,
sorry. My favorite bit from, like, when he's challenging everybody is when he goes up against, he's talking to the woman and the woman just, like, sucker punches him in the stomach blood. And then just blood comes out of his mouth. It's like, what do you do? I'm a farmer. It's like farmers and girls can't fight.
Yeah.
It's like, never mind.
Yeah.
He's like, you're lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
And then again, he tries
lucky
to
act, I don't hit women.
Again, he tries to act like a tough guy when he's on, like, the bus or the trolley and it goes like, hey, four eyes. And it's like this really nerdy dude. Yeah. And then the nerdy guy just beats the crap out of both him. And yeah. So I was like, why didn't you back me up? He's like, bark, bark. Like, what are you doing?
He's like trying to, you need to be more intimidating.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
See, that's like, but then they,
that's
like,
funny.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, then they sideline their duo.
When they separate and he kicks them out and, like, that's really, yeah.
It feels like they didn't know what to do with that character. And so they kind of just wrote him off until the end. And they're like, oh, he's back now. And so, and it's a candy shop and get it. 'Cause he's fat. That's his character. That's his personality trait is he's a fat guy.
It's
pretty
He's soft and tender.
No, it's good. That's what I'm saying. Everyone's one-dimensional personality traits are used for good comedy. So it's like, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. Like, I wish, like, I honestly kind of forgot. And I like the landlord and the landlady a lot. But
they were the best characters.
Yeah. But I forgot about the quote-unquote protagonist because he's, like, not even in it for, like, 40 minutes in the back half. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I'm part of the gang. And then he runs up and smacks the guy with the chair leg. And then flip sides kind of on that, you know.
Well, it's because
I was like, oh yeah, he's in it.
it's implied that they he's their son, the landlady and the landlords,
right? Yeah, where they're like, he looks like to be about the age of our boy would be now, you know what I mean?
And then
it's
like,
not their son, their surrogate son, at least
every tendon and every bone in his body is broken. How is he healing so fast?
Yeah,
I know, right? Yeah. And that's like the anime trope where it's like, you know, he goes like Super Saiyan because it's like he gets killed. And I love, it's like, that's what I like about this movie is like, it's so blatant, but it works so well where like they just look over and it's like the butterfly comes out of the cocoon and it's like, that's exactly what he's doing. And then like, and then
it's
just,
so obvious.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I just love that. Like, I, you know, that's the style. Like, that's like the triumph that I love in movies is when like he does become enlightened and he like, he just comes out and that's what the Matrix did, you know? And it's like, he just comes out and
he's starting to believe.
He's the one. I mean, he's the fucking one. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, they're, I mean, they use that in this movie. Like, he's going to be the one because he's
that's
a kung fu genius.
Good.
It is always good. And he's going like, super fast and fighting all the guys.
He's now able to unlock the Buddhist palm. And I'm sorry, but those moves where you just see him do the palm
the giant hand
through the building and so you cool. just see the outline. I'm like, that's cool.
That's cool. That's an anime.
That is an anime. I'm kind of bummed though because that last fight really is the most like muddy CG and that it's such a bummer because it's like him shooting into the walls and stuff and blowing holes through it and like his frog style is really cool but like it totally goes, it's like, it becomes like 100% CG at that point.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like such a disservice, but it's still fun. I mean, this whole movie to me is super fun, and I'll watch it again in 10 years.
This is a good example, like I talk about quite all the time with you, Pablo, is like, this is a good example of style over substance. Because it's like all the complaints that we've kind of been making about, like, you know, the tone and like the CG and like the weird like plot pacing and character shit, like all that stuff is there, and it would feel like a disservice not to mention it, but it's like, it does, that's not what it's about, so I don't really care, because that's not really the movie's intention.
No.
And so I couldn't overlook that stuff as easily, but since this movie's really trying to focus and do something different, it's easy for me to kind of be like, yeah, that's kind of minor. You know what I mean? Like, in the grand picture of things, of like this crazy, wacky story. Like, it's like, again, of course it just takes a turn. And of course the protagonist just isn't in it for 40 minutes. And it's about this other couple now, which is a more interesting couple. But,
and again, he's super unlikable for half the movie.
Oh yeah.
I know. Right? I mean, I like him.
I think he keeps getting his shit pushed in.
I know how it ends. And so I can see this, like, the first time you watch this, it's going to be, he is a little off-putting. Like, the whole time I was watching it, I'm like, I thought he redeemed himself and became, like, you know, a better character, like, sooner. I didn't remember it was the last 20 minutes, really. It's really late in the movie. And so the whole time I'm kind of like, but you can tell for, like, how pathetic he is, you know, and how much, like,
that's what's funny.
And his whole, like, his, like, motive to be a bad guy and strong.
Yeah, he stood up and tried to be a hero once and got pissed on him. It's like, now.
Yeah, it's so great.
I mean, good guys never win, you know?
Honestly, yeah. To be fair, that I do see that, like, mindset in a lot of people.
Oh, 100%.
Like, oh, you know, I got bullied as a kid, so now I'm going to be an asshole to everybody else.
Yeah, it gives me a fucking free pass to be a douchebag.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. But I love how, like, he isn't, you know, he's like, never kill, like, he goes that, and he's like we haven't robbed anyone, killed anyone, raped anyone, you know, murdered, whatever,
we're so bad at being bad guys.
Yeah, he's bad.
What's the deal
there? He is,
and that's what's funny. But then it's just like, yeah, and then it's like, oh, okay, and then he's gonna become Kung Fu Jesus at the end.
But it's so good because
but it works.
He buys, that's where it's like, this is like,
I don't buy his arc though. It's like, I don't buy his arc because he just hits the one guy just because he kind of gets goaded into it. And then it's like, suddenly he's like, kind of got tricked to being on the other side. Part. But that, again, it's like, yeah, his character arc is fucking garbage, but I don't really care. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, like, normally that would bother me, but since that's not the focus.
I think Shaolin Soccer does this better in terms of character development, character arcs.
It's a little bit more grounded too, I think, slightly. I mean, it's weirder, but it's like,
well, right. I mean, well, it's got like the good guys versus bad guys.
Yeah. True. Yeah. No, driven down. You get the hero story of, like, fallen hero, and now is his chance to rise up in a different way.
What were you saying about One Punch Man, Jordan?
It just, this is that, this movie gives me those vibes.
Of just like, I'm just good.
It's kind of like, well, yeah, but, or it's even like, I just love that in One Punch Man where, like, he's so like, his power makes him, like, really benign, and that's kind of how this character is. He's like, he wants to be so bad, but, like, he doesn't. You know, he's good, and he's, like, kind of trying to, like, rebel against it, against being good, even though he just is. Like, even, yeah, and that's where it kind of, like, that's how come I like his character, but he is pretty just, he's like a curmudgeon, really.
That could have been, you know, had that been fleshed out, that could have been really interesting. That would have been,
I know, it could have been. That's actually the disadvantage, or, like, the disservice this film did, is it didn't, like you said, pick a lane. Because I really would have loved to seen this a little more straight. Like, at her, like, yeah.
Like, focused on, like, pick a character, focus on them, and, like, make it happen. Like you said, pick a lane. It's like,
I see the character arc, but they really did not stick to it, of him more just being like, okay, he finally let go, so now he's able to unlock all this stuff. Because guess what? That's any art.
Yeah. They kind of just threw in the kitchen sink. You know what I mean? It's just kind of everything. It's like,
it's so many bits.
Yeah. Had he kind of, like, tightened it up, or, again, like we say all the time, expanded it a little bit to either, it's like, either cut or flesh it out. You know what I mean? It's like, sometimes it's so hard for artists, and I mean, I know I have a hard time, like, deciding whether, like, okay, this thing is underdeveloped. I either need to fucking get rid of it, or I need to flesh it out so it actually serves a purpose. And a lot of times it's like, this definitely feels like a first draft script. You know what I mean? Which is fine. I don't really care that much because it's not about that, but it does feel like a first draft, which had it been tooled from the foundation, like we said in every fucking episode, or I always rant about, it's like the script is the foundation of the movie, but it's like this foundation is fucking wonky and falling over all over the place, but it's like, that's what they're going for sort of. So it's like, I'm not mad. Yeah.
Well, and like we say, also, it's like the script is the foundation, but then the movie gets created three times. And so it's like 100%. From script to like them shooting it. And then this movie definitely post, heavily obviously. Involved post.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I feel like they really like what they got out of it. Like they carved a fun movie out of it.
And 100%. And obviously this might be a good time to bring it up for you, Jordan. Cause obviously this movie was popular. I mean, you and I watched it back in the day when like shortly after its release. And I remember it being like still people, it's got like a bit of a cult following.
It definitely got talked about even back then.
Oh, back then, for sure. And it's, well, it's still got a cult following.
Trailers everywhere.
It was the highest grossing foreign film like ever during its time.
That's what I was about to ask.
At that time. And I don't know. I didn't see a list now, but yeah.
I think it's also because it was like, we were at the height of comedy movies around that time. What 2005, 2006?
Before, like, the Apatow-style comedies kind of took over, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Right. No, I definitely feel like this was, like, people were looking for this kind of movie, for sure.
Like related to stoner comedies. It was like, man, let's just go and have a fun time and laugh.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And I think, honestly, like, when The Matrix came out, that totally got like everybody wanted to see a movie like this, and this movie was like, you know, I remember when this movie came out, people comparing it to Matrix and having that, you know.
Well,
like
Kill Bill is a good one because it came out the same year as Kill Bill,
right?
Hyper stylized fights and just like crazy action.
Like you're saying, it's like Kill Bill. Kill Bill is the serious version of all the homages, right? Or semi serious anyway, because that movie's sort of cartoony too.
Oh, that's true.
But speaking of, do you got a money minute? You know how much?
I do, yeah.
I'm curious how much this made and everything.
The budget estimate was $20 million, which a lot of that went to the distribution.
The post. Oh, really? I was gonna say that was the post too. That's pretty small considering how CG heavy this is.
Well, if you watch the time period,
the CG is not bad.
But if you watch it, I noticed there's literally only five sets. I'd have to go through and count it again, but like. It straight up is like that pigsty manor, the city, that city block with the like, you know, the one. It's kind of they were smart in the production of this where like they made it set in like the late 30s or early 40s or whatever, where it's just kind of like it is really stripped down. There's only one city block of actual city block. Mm-hmm. And then there's a slum period, you know, and that's like it. And so like they really like it's very minimal.
Yeah,
when it sets.
I definitely noticed a couple reused CG too, like in the environmental destruction and stuff like that. I'm like, that's the exact same pillar, like copy and pasted several times, you know. But it's like,
but it works. It's effective.
Well, no, $20 million is pretty cheap.
We didn't really talk about it that much, but the slum is literally like one building and then just like a wasteland around, like there's nothing. It's just like dirt around him. And it's just I don't know. It's weird to think about. Like I get it. But just like a single apartment building with like shops and everything around, like on the inside.
I was thinking that I'm like, who the fuck is there? Who's their clientele? Who are they? Because when he does the haircut and he's like, that's a quarter or something. Yeah. I was like, what like are you?
Each other.
That's ludicrous.
Each other. It's like a very small city.
Yeah.
I like Dread. But, it reminds you of Dread, but way smaller.
Kind of. Yeah. 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 Well, and Dread was Dread's based off of a city.
It's
in
like
China,
the Kowloon walled city or whatever.
Right. Exactly. That's what it's based off. Yeah. But It grossed a fuck ton though. It grossed $104 million.
Nice.
So it did, it did just fine. And it made its money back. And it really does hold up as like a cult classic. But I was blown away because of it's one of the highest grossing foreign films ever made.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't Stephen Chow do anything he wanted after this, or at least like create something else? And I was just reading that he was gonna make Kung Fu Hustle 2 in 2005. He was just like, he already had a script ready to shoot, and then production got like shut down, and then a few years later, I think it was because he had a family too, but a few years later, he made that one movie, CJ-17 or something, that weird, like, alien kids film. And I remember seeing that with Chet and being like, this is bad. Like, this is weird. It's like kind of, you know, it's like a family friendly and just kind of weird with like poop jokes and stuff. But I was like, okay, whatever. And then like he was gone. He's off the grid. He hasn't like I haven't seen him make anything since. But Kung Fu Hustle 2, he did in 2003. He said that it's in production. So whatever that means. It's
2003
in,
you know, or 2023?
Or 2023.
I was going to say, yeah, it's probably not in production. So.
No. That's
if he said the, that before the release of this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it could also be 2013. You never know. At this point, it's just like
right. Things
get made nowadays that I'm all like, oh, this hasn't had a sequel in over 30 years. What is happening?
I know. And this could totally come back and do well. Like,
yeah,
I would go see a Kung Fu Hustle.
I absolutely would. Like, I would like to see his creativity expand into newer, fresh ideas and new IPs, obviously. But it's like, he's not going to, at this point, he's been out of the game, I guess, so long that it's like the only way he is going to get financing is for Kung Fu Hustle 2, because it's got that name recognition for being so successful when it was. But it's like, I mean, I think he would be hard pressed to make it for $20 million now. But
of course,
but
yeah.
somebody would give him the money, like $20 million. I mean, obviously it's a fuck a lot of money, but like for what this movie is, like it does feel kind of cheaper now, with like the CG and stuff. But it's like for such a CG heavy movie, man, it's pretty. It's like they did a lot. They stretched it. They did a lot with what they had, I think.
Oh, I feel like like a streaming company like Netflix or something could fund that.
Yeah,
and it could turn out good.
Right. No, Netflix, to make it a Netflix movie could easily happen. But I want to, I was trying to find out why we were talking here, but I want to figure out what happened to him. I don't know where he.
Is he alive? Did he disappear?
He like dropped off the face of the earth because his buddy, the fat guy in it, he's been working on a project like every year since. So like he was in something in something this year. It was in something last year. And so I'm like, weird that Stephen Chow would just kind of drop out.
He's, trying to unlock the Buddhist palm technique.
Because he does do his chakra, unblock his chakra.
I mean, he does love it. So maybe, yeah, maybe he really is just dedicating himself to the blade or something.
You don't think he wasn't the cameo of like the guy who gives him the manual for the technique, right? It wasn't him. Because
do you think? Oh, I don't know,
dude. If it is him, that's a good cameo.
That would be good.
That's really funny because I didn't even think of that. But I bet he is. Because that guy is, that character is so funny.
So we're going to, I'm just going to bring it up real quick. So like the way that the main character learns like the Buddhist palm technique and all this fighting style.
Like it's just like a gyp pamphlet, but it's like it works.
It's like a 2-cent pamphlet that he gets off like this homeless dude. And he like tells him, it's like, oh my gosh, you have like the perfect bone structure for Kung Fu. Do you want like this pamphlet to show you the Buddhist palm technique for only $10?
Yeah, he's like, normally it's priceless, but for you.
Yeah.
I'd give it for you $10.
And then at the very end, he goes to another kid and it's like, oh, if you're not interested in the Buddhist palm, I got like three more manuals. Yeah. And I'm all like, dude.
Yes, see, that's a good setup too. Exactly. It's like
that's a great
setup. It doesn't
setup
have
for
a hangover
sequel,
for like the characters, but it's like a setup for more antics with the fresh
and
cast.
That's what the sequel's gonna be. He's not gonna be the main character. It's gonna be like kind of like a, you know, an up modern update. So
yeah, we'll see. I got just a couple Reddits. Let's see. So, Proof Ambassador 2006 says this movie's forever goated, which there shows the cult status of this. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? It's just like, it's funny because we got more comments on this movie than, you know, a couple of the other ones. So, Drew Z-O-N says I gotta unblock my chakra to be my true form.
Yeah,
right.
I know who that is.
My second, and then Clinton People 2 says, my second watch, saw it about 10 years ago. I don't remember the plot, but I remember it was lots of fun. This time around, I had a blast. The choreography is great, and it had lots of moments that made me laugh. The score was great, too, which we didn't even mention, but yeah, it was super dope. Yeah. He goes on to say, I think the film started off better than it finished. There was a strong sense of style in the opening that got lost as we went on. I liked that it was completely over the top to the point where it almost felt like an anime at times. That allowed it to go nuts in the final act. The story was a bit weak, but this is an action parody, so it gets a free pass. Kill Bill meets Looney Tunes gets an 8 out of 10 from me. Thanks.
That's a good way to say it. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I know. I said that to him. I said, oh, dude, that's a perfect way. And he said, Sadly, I can't take credit for it. It's on the Blu-ray box.
It's on the, yeah, right.
Oh, really?
I'm like, that is perfect.
It is perfect, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, Clunch of People 2 is the one that said it. He's officially the guy that quote.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for all comment on that. I'm glad.
Thank you.
That's the thing. It's like, this movie
it's fun,
brings
man.
Joy.
Just watch
you know what
it.
I mean? It's fun.
Yeah.
It's like something, because it's like, I mean, I...
Okay, so
smoke a little weed.
I'm gonna segue now. I was like, as someone who does like a little bit of martial arts, anybody who is interested in any sort of kung fu, and if they prefer like more real grounded stuff, and it's like, oh, like actual real martial arts, I was like, this still like fills that void of just like it has good choreography, good fight scenes. It may be a little wacky at times, but you're gonna get your fill. And that's what I usually look for in martial arts films.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll see. Oh, yeah. I don't know for sure, because this is one of the few I've not seen, but that segue, if maybe the next week's movie is such more of a hardcore, just straightforward martial arts film, and I've heard the choreography's dope. I've seen, was it Tony Jaa or whatever?
Tony Jaa.
I've seen him in a different movie. Was it Ong Bak, right?
Ong Bak, the Thai Warrior.
Yeah, I've seen Ong Bak, but the next week's movie is going to be The Protector, which I've not seen, so, but what I know about him, it's like, I'm looking forward to seeing... I know this is more of a straightforward, more realism style, just like Max,
a bit
Kung
like
Fu,
John like, Wick style. Like, I'm just here to kick ass, and that's it.
I don't know that much about it, so it's like I don't know how stylized it is exactly, but it doesn't seem to be too much, and so I'm interested to see that juxtaposition from this movie going into that next. You know,
there's only one thing I know about the movie, and it's like one of the best action wonders of all time.
Don't tell me.
Okay.
Don't
cool.
tell me. Anyway,
I'm watching a trailer for it right now.
Don't,
and it looks.
I'm not looking at any.
Yeah. It looks fucking wackadoo, dude. I'm excited for it. So, yeah. Let's get it going, man. It's our last allergies. Fighter.
Yeah.
Whatever. Last. Kung Fu. I don't even know what this month's called. What is this?
Martial arts.
I tried to keep it kind of vague.
Martial arts. Hopefully, we'll see how like the next movie pans out, because the next. Tony Jaa is known for Muay Thai, which is actually something I train in. So I don't know a whole lot about Wing Chun or whatever the Kung Fu guys were doing like in this one. But maybe I'll actually get a chance to talk about the stuff that I do.
Yeah,
no, it looks sick. So it looks like there's a lot more knee action in this movie. So
like a good knee or a good bow, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Whoops.
All right.
Well, check that out. I mean, obviously watch Kung Fu Hustle. Check it out. My dog's snoring like crazy over here now. She's having some allergies.
She's dying.
Can't hear her on the mic, but
I know it'll wake you up if you visit Cult of Cinema Knowledge on Patreon. That'll definitely get your blood flowing.
It will, and go to the Reddit, vote. I mean, I don't know what we're gonna do next month, but like, vote on the movies, check them out. You know, come, even if you don't watch them, come tell us what to watch.
Once again, shout out to SLC Muay Thai and Stink Pit MMA. If you're in the SLC area, please come train out there. We're always looking for new people.
Go get some water.
Oh, yeah, baby. Go fight a snake.
Yes.
In the snake pit. Your ass, little big anaconda.
I mean, that's my coach's like fighter name. Yep. Jake the Snake.
That's fine.
Oh, hell yeah.
I like that. All right. Well.
Cool, guys.
I'll talk to you on the floppy. Thanks for listening, everyone.
See ya.